Will God Save All? By William C. Redman. Have you ever wondered how God was intending to end all this business of running the universe? Did you ever stop to think that God knew how everything would be and become before he created a thing? Did you ever realize that, because of this fact, God must have certainly had a purpose in view before he created Adam? Did you ever stop to realize how the teaching of eternal punishment would fit in with that unchangeable truth? Did you never wonder if Christ meant in a literal, actual sense what he said in John 12:32, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me"? Will all men be saved when God has completed his plan for the ages? The scriptures clearly say God will accomplish this to his great glory, but many are the arguments against thus interpreting the scriptures. We believe that, if you will consider these carefully, you will reverently worship God as the Supreme One, who, in his love, plans far, far ahead, and by his surpassing wisdom and power makes the most dark and tedious ways all open into the terminus of shining glory. 1 Colossians 1:20, and, having made peace through the blood of his, Christ's, cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth, or things in heaven. Arguments against. Answers. All things means material things only. Material things cannot have feelings of enmity or peace. And the Greek in which scripture was inspired is not things-simply the all. Reconciled simply means the general satisfaction of God with Christ's sacrifice for all the world. A reading of verses 21 and 22 disproves that. Schofield says, "Reconciliation is that effect of the death of Christ upon the believing sinner which, through divine power, works in him a thorough change toward God from enmity and aversion to love and trust." Reconciliation can only be accomplished by faith. Paul was saved by sight of Christ in his glory without any choice of his own, Acts 9. Compare verses 1 and 6. 2. Paul was chiefest of sinners, 1 Tim 1:13-15. If he was saved by God's deliberate choice and convincing proof of Christ's divine sonship and of his grace, then all lesser sinners can more easily be turned to God, in his own time, by him in this same way. Argument against. Answer. Paul called himself chiefest of sinners because of that deep humility which makes every convert feel his own depravity as the worst. The greatest sins are unbelief, persecution and hatred of God's people, rejection of Christ, and cruelty and murder. Of all these Paul, Saul then, was supremely and actively guilty, Acts 9:1. All of these sins being magnified by his superior knowledge of God's revelations, Phil 3:4-6, and his first-hand witnessing of the greatest testimony of Christ's divinity and resurrection up to his time, that is, Stephen's vision, Acts 7:56-58. 3. Philippians 2:10-11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Argument against. Answer. This is a forced obeisance. This would not be particularly to the glory of God the Father. Also, they will all bow in the name of Jesus, which means Jehovah Savior. Compare very carefully verse 11 with 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. 4 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Arguments against. Answers. Only those who die in Christ will be made alive. That is not what it says, else why bring Adam in? That life is only resurrection for condemnation to the second death, the lake of fire. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, makes it a final, ultimate vivification for all. The last enemy is the occurrence of dying, not the resultant state of death. It includes both, and the time occupied by that state up to the resurrection. 1 Cor. 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. 5. General argument against. Answer. There is then no urgency to be saved now. Every unsaved man shall be judged according to his works, Rev. 2:12, and then to the lake of fire. Also, ages of glory and joy will be missed by the unsaved. 6. General argument against. Answer. The Bible speaks of everlasting punishment, Matt 2:5-46, and everlasting fire, Matt 1:8-8. The Greek word translated ever is spoken in English, aeon, and the Greek word for everlasting is an adjective, aeonion, which reverts the argument back to the meaning of aeon. Just one proof that the Authorized Version translation of the word aeon as ever is wrong, is that the same version often translates it world, and it is used in the phrase end of the world, Matt 1:39-40, 49, etc. Another proof is that the same version sometimes translates the plural form ages, Eph 2:7, Col. 1:26. But in two very important passages it translates this plural form with the singular form world, both of which Schofield changes to ages, 1 Cor. 2:7, before the world ages, and Heb. 9:26, end of the world, or, as Schofield says, consummation of the ages, which, by the way, should refer to the future putting away of sin, not the time of Christ's sacrifice. Aeon therefore must be a limited period of time, having a beginning, an end, and a plural number. Arguments against. Answers. Aeon varies in meaning in the Bible, sometimes having a temporal meaning, and sometimes being eternal and unlimited. No word can have such contradictory uses, else how do we know what it means at any given time? Finiteness and infinitude are as opposite as east and west. Granted, aeon means age or a limited period of time, then forever and ever, torment in Rev. 2:10, will not be for a limited number of ages, but, as the Greek has it, for the aeons of his the aeons, that is, unlimited numbers of ages containing other ages, or ages tumbled upon ages. This must be as endless as Christ's reign, Rev. 1:15, and that of the saints, Rev. 2:5. A period of time cannot contain other periods of time of the same kind, or the term becomes meaningless. Aeons of the aeons are the last aeons, ages outstanding from all the ages because of their culminating program and unprecedented good nature. Every like expression a similar meaning. For example, comma, day of days, heart of hearts, holy of holies. The Greek also has two singular forms, aeon of the aeon and aeon of the aeons, referring to the last great age. We cannot be correct unless we follow the scriptural forms and distinctions. Christ's reign is not endless, but only until all is subject, 1 Cor. 15:24-28. Then all rule will be abolished. If the eternal punishment of the unbelievers has an end, then the eternal life of the saints has an end also, at the end of the ages. How can life end if death is abolished at that time? 1 Cor. 15:26. The life of the ages ends when all are made alive, at the end of the ages, 1 Cor. 15:24. Then God is not everlasting, as he is called in Romans 16:26, Greek, aeonian God. It is surprising to look in the verse previous and see that the phrase, before the world began, is really in times aeonian. Thus, aeonian is certainly not eternal. It also occurs in the phrase, before aeonian times, 2 Tim. 1:9, Titus 1:2. Aeonian as an adjective means pertaining to the aeons. That he is God of the aeons does not limit him any more than he can always be the God of Israel alone, as he is called. Other gods fall and are forgotten, But we have a God who made the ages, HEB.1, 2. They belong to him and he belongs to them, and he shall be the glory for them long after they are over. The doctrine of the aeons, in itself, makes an interesting study which the reader may follow out. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, aeonian must mean eternal because it is set in contrast to the word temporal, meaning enduring for time as opposed to eternity. The Greek word translated temporal has no connection with the word for time. It is literally toward seasons, therefore means temporary. In the passage in question, it is easily seen as a comparison between our afflictions, which last for a brief season, and our promised aeonian glory, which lasts until all opens out into the glorious consummation. 7 Corinthians 15:28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son, Christ, also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Argument against. Answer. Subjecting signifies the use of force. Not altogether, for though he may use force as a means, in the end he will have so led and taught his creatures that they will no longer need government. V.24, put down or rule, but God, by his Spirit, will be everything to each of them - all in all - the Holy Spirit will fill each heart. What else can these words mean? For all shall be at peace with God. 8 Romans 5:18, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. All will be justified, at the end, of the guilt which even just punishment cannot efface, though teaching the justice of God and the inherent insufficiency of the creature. Through the blood of his cross, Christ makes peace for all with the Father and at last so teaches each as to bring all into the blessed family of God, the Father, which he planned to do before he created Adam. The purpose of the aeons, Eph.3:11, his grand adventure to gain the enduring love of every creature. And so here are, in brief, the most important and simple facts concerning what God's Word teaches on universal reconciliation. Our part is to believe what the Scriptures say, not doubting if we cannot see how God works, to love all as God does, and to serve faithfully and lovingly in being, or in helping those who are called to be, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Eph.4:11. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, Eph.1:11. How? That's for us to believe, but not always to understand now, for God is the Savior of all men, specially of those that believe, 1 Tim.4:10. See 1 Tim.2:4. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Greek, for the aeons. Amen. Rom. 11:36. To possible unsaved readers we say, what do you think of this Christ who lovingly throws his all into such a grand plan to gain the love of every individual? If you believe on him and his sacrifice for you, you are justified by faith, Rom. 5:1, and you'll love him and serve him and share his glories in the grand ages to come. Copyright Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to main index page.